is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The balloon. The balloon over America. The balloon over South America. Chinese balloon. The question mark. Spy balloon? Meteorological research? The foreign ministry in Beijing. Commenting first, meteorological balloon, you've overreacted. Commenting second, there will be a retaliation. Commenting now third, I go to a report from Military News. This is of the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mao Ning. China said Tuesday it, quote, will, Mao Ning, quote, resolutely safeguard its legitimate rights and interests over the shooting down of a suspected Chinese spy balloon. Mao Ning went on to say that it was an unmanned airship, and she criticized the U.S. for overreacting rather than adopting a calm, professional manner. I welcome Mary Kissel, the executive vice president of Stevens Incorporated, importantly, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, who's been in all the rooms of all the diplomatic channels these last years and has listened to diplomatic language very carefully, translated into English. In addition, Mary was many years for the Wall Street Journal editorial page in China. Mary, a very good evening to you. This requires tea leaf reading of how the Chinese are responding to these events. The simple version is a balloon that may have very well been a spy balloon carrying a package we're told as big as a jet aircraft, appeared over the Aleutian Islands, flew over Canada, flew over Montana, several important Air Force missile bases, flew near or over Stratcom in Nebraska, traversed North America, and was shot down by the Air Force off of South Carolina. At the same time, we're told a second balloon, said to be the similar type, appeared over Costa Rica, sailed over Colombia, perhaps touched Venezuela, and I don't know its fate. So your reading of the events of these last days, is China showing clumsiness and weakness, or is America showing hesitation and anxiety over Chinese provocation? Good day to you, Mary.
Good day to you, John. Well, this is a significant event. The Chinese Communist Party willfully violated U.S. airspace, engaged in surveillance, and is now lying about it. We've talked about this many times on your program. Beijing lies as a matter of course. And so when you hear a spokesperson like that say, well, don't worry, it was just a civilian airship used for research, you know, meteorological purposes, you can safely assume that the opposite is true. And there are several concerning aspects to this. First of all, the administration and the Pentagon specifically have now revealed that there were prior incidents that they were not aware of. It is absolutely remarkable that the United States spends the money that it does on defense and has such a huge gaping hole in our surveillance capabilities of our airspace. That needs to be rectified immediately. Secondly, the fact that this thing wasn't shot down as soon as it entered Canadian airspace, not to mention U.S. airspace, is also alarming because it sends a message to Beijing that we really aren't going to act on your provocations. And in fact, there hasn't been any real consequence leveled other than some weak rhetoric out of the White House. And the Chinese will take that as a green light to do more. I think it's easy to treat this incident as something that is comical or can be kind of swept away. And isn't it funny? There's nothing funny about this. As you say, John, it was 200 feet high. The payload was the size of a small aircraft. It could carry not just surveillance capabilities, but weaponry, any manner of nuclear device in the future. And it recalls to me the test run that Russia did in April of last year, where it massed troops at the border and then watched what the European and the United States and how we reacted to it. And we didn't really do very much at all. And so what did Putin do? Well, he invaded just a few months later. And you know, there is another purpose. And last thing I'll say before I turn it back over to you, John, just that this balloon could have been collecting meteorological information that would help inform China's data collection, its big data AI systems that are powering a lot of its new automated weaponry. And so this thing could have served several functions, testing us, observing our military facilities, imposing fear on the population here, and collecting key data that could help the Chinese military in the future. Very, very alarming.
The puzzling second balloon, Mary. It's easy to be lighthearted about this and say, what, is there a ministry of balloons that we can claim are collecting meteorological information? But a balloon over Costa Rica, odd. A balloon over Colombia, the response from Petro, the new president of Colombia, is I'm going to Beijing looking for business. A balloon over Venezuela, if it did traverse Venezuela, and that's logical. The Maduro regime condemned Washington for shooting down the balloon off of South Carolina. So this suggests that China's practicing a program here, not simply a one-off, not looking to just target America. There have been other reports, none of this is confirmed, of balloons in the Indo-Pacific or balloons. Taiwan has reported balloons or similar events off of Taiwan. This could very well be a large-scale program that's been going on for quite some time. So the question is, did the administration handle this in a way that made it very clear to China it's not acceptable? For one, Antony Blinken was scheduled for an important meeting with Xi Jinping, canceled. For two.
No, not canceled, postponed.
Ah, thank you. Postponed. And two, we are on the eve of the anniversary, the first year of the war fighting in Ukraine, February 24th. We're told repeatedly that something big is coming. This is Kiev talking. This is London talking. Don't know what it is, don't know what it means, but Xi Jinping is due into Moscow some point near this time for a state visit. So therefore, the balloon has to be connected to all those events. It doesn't paint a picture of China looking to make friends or to take away the growling mask. It looks like China's being confrontational. Am I jumping to conclusions, Mary?
No, you're simply looking at the facts. I've talked before on your program, John, about the vast military buildup that China has been engaged in for the past several decades. And it's very clear that their intent is not to just defend their territory. It's to project power and ultimately to take us out, to take out our ability to respond. One of the reasons why I think this balloon incident was alarming among the many is that it shows how threatened the U.S. mainland could be, which is something that most Americans, aside from that horrible event on 9/11, have never really experienced. And, you know, this threat is something far beyond a terrorist blowing up a building. I mean, we're talking about capabilities to take out our electricity and our water supplies in the middle of winter, capabilities to, you know, take our phone systems down and the military's ability to talk to its troops. I mean, this is extremely, extremely serious. And when you have China in bed with Russia and Iran and marshaling its forces and making buddy-buddy with Maduro in Venezuela, which is only a couple miles south of the Florida Keys, this threat becomes a threat to us here at home. And that's why I think beyond just the visual of seeing it float over tens of millions of Americans, it's that feeling of vulnerability, I think, that that's why this is such a seminal event and why I don't think it's something that the White House can kind of, you know, wipe away. I thought Secretary Blinken's response was extremely weak. Why would we? I mean, he said we all go back to China when conditions allow. Well, what kind of conditions are we talking about? I think it's time to dump the Washington rhetoric that there's a quote unquote relationship here. People are in relationships when both sides want to be in one. Beijing does not want to be in one. I've been in those rooms, John. They don't talk to us over the negotiating table. They read talking points and insult us. That's their MO. And they do it until you tell them to stop or you walk out. And that's the kind of behavior that they understand. And so, you know, this instinct, I think, which, look, is a laudable instinct. I understand it from the Biden team to try to find a way to have a dialogue and talk. That's all well and good. But it's time to realize that they don't want to talk. They want to dominate us. Their military buildup clearly shows that. That's all in the public domain. Listeners can go find those stats at the China Military Report. And their rhetoric says it too, where they're very clear that they want to invade their neighbors. I mean, if that doesn't alarm people, I don't know what will.
May of 1960, Gary Powers piloting a U-2 reconnaissance aircraft over Soviet territory is shot down by Soviet air defense. These are the moments before President Eisenhower, at the end of his two terms, was scheduled to meet with Nikita Khrushchev, General Secretary of the Soviet Union, in Paris for peace talks. That was called off. What followed not only was humiliation for the United States, Gary Power was put on trial, but also 1961, the Berlin Wall and the crisis that started immediately to galvanize a possible nuclear war in Europe. 1962, the Bay of Pigs and the U.S. attempt to retake Havana, Cuba, leading to a humiliation for the Kennedy administration. In other words, I'm describing the Cold War got much worse after Gary Powers. The question is open. It cannot be answered. Will the contest between the U.S. and China get much worse after the balloon incident? Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. We're going to turn to The Crisis of Democratic Capitalism, a new book from Martin Wolf, the distinguished economist and columnist for the Financial Times. Martin Wolf is not pleased with present practices of capitalism, and especially in the American Republic. What does this mean right now about the U.S. presentation to the world in this contest between the Russians and the Chinese and NATO? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.